Hello and welcome to today's episode of Wolves Fancast. Rich Hobbs here today. I'm joined by Kim and Jordan right off the back of our post-match Instagram where they both featured on there. And they've come over to the podcast as well to talk about the game as well and share their thoughts on the defeat to Everton. Guys, briefly, how are we both feeling at the moment? Jord, how are you?
Battered. Bruised, bored, want the season to end. But yeah, I feel like a lot of the Wolves players are in the same boat, really. I think they've all put their annual leave in. I think they're just limping to get into the end of the week so they can go on a two-week bender in Ibiza. That's what it feels like and looks like to me. So I feel very similarly to the players. I can't wait for Sunday. Not for the game, I just can't wait for it to be over, to be honest.
Kim, how are you?
Pretty much the same, to be honest. Absolutely mentally drained at sort of saying the same thing over again as to how poor we are. Yeah, the same really. Just ready for a holiday. Need some sun somehow. Need to just relax and think about nothing but Wolves. Anything but.
Not talk about our midfield crisis or anything like that. But before we dissect the Everton game, two quick announcements. Firstly, we're now part of the 90 Min Football Network. Great to be part of the like-minded community of podcast creators. So it's, again, really positive for us moving forward. And hopefully we'll be able to bring some sort of fresh and interesting things to you going into next year. The other one is that on Bank Holiday Monday, Wolves Fancast are playing a charity football match against, I was going to say Wolves Twitter. That seems very...
That is on the poster, yeah, Rich.
It is. I am literally quoting the promo material. but essentially, as you know, there's about 10 or so Fancast guys within our group. And we're a couple of extras, a couple of ringers like our founding father, Dave Evans. We're having a charity match against some other podcasts, YouTubers as well, from like of Wolf Whistle, Talking Wolves, Always Wolves as well, and Wandering Wolf. I feel like I'm missing one.
77
Club. There we go. Sorry, Harry. We are raising money for Mind, the mental health charity. The donation link is on our Twitter feed now. Feel free to donate if you can do. Should be plenty of fun. I believe there's forfeits on the day for people playing. I know I'm not available to play, but Jordan, I know you are primed and ready. How are you feeling in advance for it?
Itching to go. I think I was really excited about it, and I'll be honest with you, it's obviously for a great cause, and you know, a few of us on the fan cast still play or have only just stopped playing, so I think there's a few of us of differing levels of footballing history and ability, I think, and I'll be honest with you, the closer it gets to it, the more I'm shitting myself about the thought of getting nutmegged by someone from Wandering Wolf or Always Wolves, and then thinking the closer it gets, I think there is a bit of a, especially from our side anyway, I think there is a bit of a, I think we're starting to gear up a little bit now. I think we're trying to psych each other up now that actually we don't want to lose. So it's going to be interesting.
No, I mean, there will be sanctions involved if we do lose. And frankly, if I hear about any embarrassing moments, shall we say. So, fingers crossed there won't be. It should be. Hopefully, we get the weather, and it should be a great day with some, I guess, some other Wolves content creators as well, and sort of playing down Molineux. So, now we've got the fun part out of the way. Should we talk about Everton?
Yeah, if we've got it, yeah.
Yeah. We sort of got. I was going to say we're contractually obliged. We're not. We do this for free out of our own pocket. But we'll talk about it. So. We'll go line up first, and after a few weeks of four at the back, we've gone to a five at the back, and also Ruddy starting in goal. Now, I know, George, you're very much a four at the back's way forward for us. Do you think it was the right move? I mean, do you think, for me, less about sort of five at the back or three at the back, I think it was a lot more about making sure we had the three in the middle as well. to sort of consolidate with their numbers as well.
I think we tried to match them, if I'm honest, because they've been playing with the three at the back. And yeah, I am a massive advocate of playing four at the back for the purely for the purpose of getting as many of our creative and attacking players on the pitch as possible. The reality is, they're all in hospital at the minute. They're not in the squad. They're not fit. So you look at the squad. The under-23s played on Monday, and there's a few of those guys who would have made up the bench, and maybe Theo Corbino might have got a start or at least some game time. Obviously, all those guys were wiped out as well. So I think it's more horses for courses, really, with what we had available. And I wasn't against the lineup, to be honest with you. I've said before, I'm not Kilman's biggest fan, but after the way he played against Brighton, I can't believe he got dropped the next game. It was good to see him back in, and obviously Aitner in his normal natural position. I can't really moan about the lineup. It wasn't that inspiring, but again, I generally think it was horses for courses, like I've said.
Yeah, I think bar Traore, it felt like we had almost all our players in square pegs in square holes, if you know what I mean, Kim. Like, there wasn't like, as sort of George said, we weren't trying to get people out. People weren't out of position, were they? Like, we weren't having to sort of have Gibbs out wide. He played in a central position for most of the game, and I think that really benefited him.
Yeah, it's definitely his best position. And I know I've said, and again, it was on Instagram Live, but said it on the last pod as well. I think that Gibbs White, unfairly or fairly, has had a lot of criticism in his Wolves career due to more so his off-the-field antics in terms of social media stuff, which, again, 20-year-old lad, rightly or wrongly, I don't really buy it as such. But I genuinely thought that Morgan Gibbs White was finished as a Wolves player at the start of the season when he went out on loan at Swansea. I just thought from, you know, back-to-back seventh position finishes, Europa League quarterfinal, I thought that we'd really be the catalyst for us to kick on again. Obviously, we know where we are. We are where we are. And credit to him, I think it takes a lot of mental strength to come back in the team and perform at the levels he's been performing at and justified his start. And I thought he had a really good first half as well, again, especially in his number 10 position. So, fair play to him.
I think, to be fair, I'm probably one of the few in the fan cast who has pretty much stuck by him, in the sense that I think he's definitely a player. I genuinely believe he has got the quality to be a Premier League. Maybe not quite just yet. He's probably sort of 12 months away from that point. But I also think he's arguably not quite put himself in the shop window again. But if, let's say, Swansea do get promoted, which they are two games away from doing now, if they came in with a £10 million bid for him and he went, I could get on board. I could understand it now, and I could see him being able to do it at a lower Premier League level without sort of sounding too, I guess, sort of shooting down Swansea too much in case if my in-laws are listening.
Nah, but I think you're right, though. I think it's, like I said, my point just, like, for a team that's finished seventh back-to-back in an Europa League quarter-final, should he, you know, I don't think he wouldn't be playing if we'd have carried on that vein, you know, on that trajectory we've been on. But like I say, I think since he's come back in the team, he's been really, really good. And it's nice to see. And I thought, again, tonight, I don't think he did anything wrong. I think bar Traore, I thought he was probably our best player again. So I can't really fault him at all.
Yeah, particularly in the first half, you know, he got dragged off sort of partway through the second. I think sort of we ran out of ideas. But Kim, what did you make of sort of Ruddy starting?
I was a bit shocked, actually. I didn't actually, in hindsight, it looked like, you know, fair decision, give John Ruddy sort of the run out. In preparation for next week, I would imagine Rui's going to be back for that game. So I was a bit worried because I do feel like John Ruddy's prone to errors a little bit more. Obviously, that didn't happen. He didn't get tested tonight. So, yeah, couldn't fault him overall. But, yeah, I guess it was just one of those, you know, where he's coming to the end of his time at Wolves. So you can't you couldn't begrudge him a start in the end, although I was a little bit angry when I saw the lineup. Yeah. In hindsight, it was, you know, it didn't affect the outcome of the result at all. You know, he couldn't have saved the goal at all. Actually, someone on Instagram Live did make a point that he should have saved the Everton's goal, which I completely disagree with. He should never have been have actually come out for the ball because it was almost spinning away and not even in the 6-yard box. So, yeah, faultless performance from him, I think.
Yeah, I thought it was he's got such an interesting sort of, well, he's got almost a very traditional goalkeeping style compared English British goalkeeping style compared to Patricio, who's a bit more continental, and it was quite refreshing to see him come and claim crosses, and as soon as he gets the ball he runs to the edge of a box and he's looking to distribute it and things like that. And I really like Patricio, but he does live and die in that 6-yard box, and it's not always to the benefit of the team. And yeah, it felt very much like it was a bit of a farewell performance that, you know, didn't necessarily want him to go out. You know, if he leaves in the summer, which I think is probably going to be likely, maybe playing against a pretty good Man United team where we could, let's say, concede 3 goals might not be what they want him to go out. And I mean, to be fair, he did play at Everton for a bit. I know he only played like 1 game in 5 years or something silly. Yeah. You know, it seemed to be sort of quite a symbolic performance more than just dropping Patricio in my mind.
Yeah, I think it's just a farewell gift. And I'll be honest with you, I genuinely think he'll probably start Sunday as well.
Okay.
I just think that, you know, Patricio's, well, it all depends, because if the rumours of what you're led to believe about Patricio and Roma, it might have any truth to him as well. You never know what that'll do as well. I just think, I mentioned it again on Instagram Live that for a chap who's come in, he's been with the club, 4 years now, free transfer as well, I believe he was at the time.
Yeah, he was, yeah.
He's just been a good servant. And I think, you know, he's definitely not, he's not the Rui level, far from that, but he did a job for us in the Championship. And unfortunately, in some of the cup games, he's probably, well, he's made mistakes. I think he'd be the first one to admit that as well. But I think for someone who, you know, who's apparently, seemed like a good person around the pitch, in terms of around the squad, should I say. It doesn't appear to have ever moaned and just got on with his job. And what I always used to like to see about John Ruddy, whatever you think about his football ability, was when he used to be in the tunnel after the games and he used to be the one high-fiving everyone coming in. And that's just a real team player, and you need those around a squad, I think. So, you know, it goes with my best wishes, and I wish him well for the rest of his career.
Just going back to Patricio as well, I think you make a good point there, Jord, around the around Patricio maybe not playing Sunday. I still probably think he just about will, but at the same time, I wouldn't be surprised if he's going to the Euros. Is it that, you know, Nuno's giving him a rest in to be ready, prepared for that game? And maybe would Neves and Moutinho also not start that game? I'd like to think we're putting Wolves ahead of Portugal, but again, wouldn't be too surprised at that.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think with sort of so little to play for on Sunday, it's going to be interesting seeing what the lineup could look like. And I think, as you said, sort of, George, I think it's a term in American sports where it's a good locker room guy.
Yeah.
And I think that's very much John Ruddy, isn't it? That, you know, he came to a club at a really difficult time. He signed 2 days after Hakim got diagnosed with leukemia. And that was already on the cards anyway. But he had big, well, gloves to fill in American terms. In those sorts of terms. And, you know, he stepped up really admirably. When we got promoted, he understood his position. He was obviously part of the FA Cup run, whether he should have played all those games is up for debate, but, you know, had a fantastic game against Man United in that quarterfinals. And you know what, I think he's probably not always benefited from long periods out for just playing those cup games, and that was a bit of my worry tonight, and he completely quelled him. So, you know, I think if he does end up playing Sunday again, I won't be mortified or, you know, raging on Twitter. But into the game itself, first half was actually quite good fun. We actually looked like we'd almost back to the Wolves of old. You know, we're picking up in little spaces. Cody was starting to hit a few more diagonals. And I thought, oh, penultimate game of the season. Why the hell not actually do what we're good at? But for all the, I guess, neat play and how sort of, I thought it was fairly technically good, and we held Everton at arm's length for most of it. Didn't really ever look like truly scoring.
No, I think it goes back to Andy Gillard's favourite saying on here about all fart, no shit. And I think it's just one of those things where it's sort of, I thought we were good in the first half. I thought, like you say, I said on the pod in midweek, sorry, on midweek, on the weekend, that I just don't know what our identity is anymore. Mm. That first half was our identity, what it's been the blueprint for the last 3.5 seasons underneath, well, for near enough 4 seasons, obviously, now, under Nuno. So it was good to see. And I thought, like, you know, we had, like, I think it was 10 corners, I think someone said, in the first half. It was definitely a lot of corners anyway. The quality of those corners been the same as all season. I saw a stat that apparently we're 19th for chances scored from set pieces this year, or set, 19th in goals scored from set pieces this year, and 20th when it comes to conceding goals. And 25% of our goals have been conceded from corners this season. And it just shows, and again, I know we get on to the second half, that's nothing more than getting it tactically wrong. That, you know, there's a lot of factors as to why the season hasn't been as what it has been, but that's purely down to tactics for me.
I was going
to
say, it's controllable.
If we take out set pieces, then does that make us a? Let's pretend that they don't exist. Then we're a great team, aren't we? Yeah.
We might as well get the headache rolling as well, like we're playing five a side.
Can you imagine if at Goodison Park they had it was set like goals, so you had it meter high wall. You didn't have to say, like Kim said, you couldn't have throws, you couldn't have corners, and we just keep on playing. That I think there's mileage in that.
It sounds very, we've already mentioned America a few times, but it sounds very American.
Yeah.
Something they'd like to do.
What, like
a cage?
Yeah, like a Budweiser half-side multi-ball system.
Yeah, something like that.
It'd have to be another ball, though. You wouldn't have to put the ball in the net either, because we're no good at that either, are we?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, when you say that, we're also not good at keeping the ball either, so... Is football really that strong point? I was going to say, yeah, it was good first half. And I thought, you know what, we're showing a bit here. And going to half-time, I thought, 0-0. Everton haven't shown a lot either. I thought, yeah, this is what we want. We know the pressure's off both teams, but, you know, we're giving it some here. And then what, 3 minutes after half-time we conceded?
Yeah, it's just standard, isn't it? It's just war. It's just our season.
But do you know what the difference was between the first half and the second half? I said on the Instagram live before the game, this game will be won in centre midfield, you know, really, and getting to all those second balls. Now, first half, we were on it. The crowd were right on their backs because they were second to everything in the middle of the park. We were, you know, Adama looked so... good. They had 3-4 men round him. All Gibbs White looked great. And then second half, I don't know what happened, but maybe Ancelotti must have given him a rocket. But that was completely the other way around, I think, in the second half. And they really looked like that they were really like good going forward in comparison to us, where we looked good going forward in the first half, but we never actually had lots of chances or we looked like scoring, whereas Everton, they had a few chances where they were sort of, you know, carving us open and you really thought that, you know, they'd get at least one and probably put a second past us, although they didn't. So I think that was the difference between the two teams as well. You know, they had Calvert-Lewin up top. We've got Silva, who... you know, I'm not going to dig him out, but again, his lack of experience showed. And I think if we had Jimenez up top, it could have been a different game today.
Yeah, I mean, the midfields, I mean, you sort of mentioned sort of Martino and Neves earlier. And it, after half time, just that midfield three plummeted. And I thought, I said Gibbs White, interestingly, his probably one of his best moments was hanging that volley on the edge of the box where he picked up the second ball, and we just didn't ever sort of quite, you know, quite do that consistently throughout the game, which was a shame. And, you know, we have got a really big situation with some about who we should be playing, you know, next season in that midfield, because, you know, Jordan, what did you say before the game about Moutinho?
Oh, well, you mean before this, before the pod started? yeah, if he was a racehorse, he'd have been put down.
Yeah.
he'd have been shot. He'd have been put out of his misery because, again, I'm not going to go on a massive rant about Moutinho. Best player I've seen in the Wolves shirt. Superb. You can just see his legs are gone, and it's so sad to see. It's almost like watching just someone like just go on the decline in front of you. It's horrible to see. He isn't going to be at Wolves next season. There's rumours about him going back to Porto on a free transfer, and fair enough, go back to your boyhood club and see out your career. I think that would be fantastic for him. I just don't think he's at the level. Or maybe he's not at the level, but I just don't think he's got the legs to play Premier League football anymore. Doesn't make you a bad player overnight, but he can't get around the pitch like we need him to in our system anymore. So, yeah, it's just I don't see him sticking around past the summer.
Yeah, I sort of think that we need to build... If you're going to have him in, you need to almost build a team around him. So you arguably have him essentially in that number 10 role, in a sort of a free role, not necessarily attacking, but then you have some very, very strong, you know, runners, defensive midfielders sort of surrounding him to do all his donkey work and just let him just roam the pitch, picking up space. But we don't play that system and we can't afford to have that luxury. No. And if it's a case of, you know, we've got Ruben Neves, who has kind of definitely not reached his ceiling as a player in my belief anyway. And if we're asking, well, hang on, we need to work on the core of this team and we can only sort of actually focus on one of them, it's got to be the 22-year-old, not the 34-year-old.
Yeah, but I'm starting to fear now. And I think Neves has had I don't think he wasn't very good today, and he wasn't very good on the weekend as well. Like, I think he's just knackered. And I think a lot of the team are knackered, so I do want to put it down to that. But I'm coming to the realisation now that I don't think Ruben Neves is going to hit his potential at Wolves. I think it might be a Diogo Jota situation where we've seen the best of Ruben Neves at Wolves in terms of what he can, and not this season, but we've seen his level, which is obviously a fantastic level, but him as a player selfishly, I can see him wanting to move on and he'd probably take his game to another level. But I just don't think we're the club that can help him get to fulfil his potential.
No,
I don't think we've got a Jota situation on our hands, purely because it feels like to me, and this is just opinion, that he's pretty settled at Wolves, and he's, you know, I feel like he'll be a future captain, that we'll build the team around him, and that we get a new centre midfielder in that will complement him a little bit better, and we can almost play to his strengths a little bit more. Because I think in spells he's been good this season, but sometimes he's been like really bad. He's shooting. I don't know what on earth has happened to that. Because every free kick he takes, the you know, you watch it on the telly, the commentator builds it up, and you know it's sailing. You know it's not even going to be near. It's not even going to be on target. So I think it's hard to sum up his season, isn't it? You know, he's been good in patches, but not, and probably a bit more consistent than the other players. But some games he's literally looked like he's stuck in mud. But personally, I think he'll stay and we'll build the team around him. I don't think we've got just a situation on our hands.
I think, I almost get what you're both saying, to be fair. And I think he's reached his ceiling with the current players he's got at Wolves. He almost needs some better players around him, and if that makes him play better, then great. If that doesn't make him play better, then you've either got to question his ability or the team's overall. And it might be a situation where, you know, if he goes to, I don't know, Man United, let's say, that he's got those forward players he can release those balls to better, have more time on the ball, maybe. But
yeah,
a lot of that,
and I think as well, the movement of our, you know, attacking players isn't, you know, they're not as experienced, are they? Whereas before we had Raul and Jota who got exceptional movement, so maybe that's affected him.
Yeah, and he loved that ball over the top to Jota, and he didn't always quite do it enough in the Premier League compared to the Championship. But, you know, throwback to Everton pretty much this time last year where we blitzed him off the park and Neves had probably his best game in the Premier League. And sort of he did a raking pass over top to Jota, I think, for the third goal. And we just, there's no need to him to connect to in those same wavelengths. He doesn't have that, you know, that chemistry with Traore where you think actually he's someone who can run behind if he wants to, but he doesn't want to play that way. So I think the midfield's going to be a really tricky one going forward. We've talked about conceding. Do you think we had a penalty shout? I think it was from Traore sort of cut the ball back and it hit the Everton player's arm. Did go to VAR. Now, I've watched it back a couple of times now and I genuinely almost don't quite see why it wasn't given.
I don't get it in terms of, as soon as you come to VAR, I don't actually understand how they're looking at it at Stockley Park and saying it isn't a clear and obvious error, because it's like he's playing netball. It's like a netball pass, like a chest pass. Like he's just literally flicked it away with his hands. And it's just, again, maybe that's just our season. I'd rather have all our bad luck now and we can just reset, have the great reset and piss the league next year, hopefully, and get all the luck and everything that comes with it next season. But yeah, it's not going to define our season by stretch of the imagination, but it's a stonewall penalty for me.
Do you know what surprised me? That literally none of our players were almost appealing for it, from what I can remember. Like, none of them appealed. And to me, I mean, it was a stonewall penalty. I was like, surely this is going to be VAR, I didn't give it. Because his hand goes directly to the ball. It doesn't even almost hit his hand. His hand goes towards the ball. So I don't understand the... how there's an explanation for why it wasn't given.
Because for me, it was a really awkward movement to have your arms like that. I don't quite know why he... Surely, like, if he just had his hands in, like, a normal running position, it would have just hit his chest and gone out. It was similar for me in, like, the one against the Albion when we lost to them. And, like... yeah, and... So, like, if you... I've never done any form of running where I ended up with my hands like up against, you know, pushed out against my chest. And even if you try and block a ball or it's going to hit you, that isn't the movement you do. You turn your shoulder into it. You don't put your hands there. You try and throw your shoulder instead, because in football, you've got less, like, you know, if it hits your hand, you're more likely to get given for a handball. Surprise, surprise, if it hits your hands rather than like hits your shoulder or whatever, because you're clearly just trying to block yourself. I think it was, yeah, I mean, I was going to say, I sound really negative. I was like, well, we probably still wouldn't have got, we still probably wouldn't have scored or drawn, but you know, it won't make a difference in the grand scheme of things. But I do think it was sort of a missed opportunity. And maybe if we were actually competing for something, it would be a lot different. But I guess to round up Everton chat, who kind of came out with, I guess, positives for yourselves, kind of either going into Man U or even going into next season?
For me. Oh, go on. Yeah, okay.
For me, I would say, so out of the lineup today, who's, you know, really should push on and stood out? I think Traore is the obvious one. You know, once we've got all the injured players back, and we've actually got some movement and creativity in the final third, I think it'll do wonders for Traore, because I feel a bit sorry for him, really. I think he'd have a lot more assists and potentially goals if he had people with him. Who else? So probably Morgan Gibbs-White. Now, I don't think he's going to be like a starter next season, and I hope to God he's not, because that'll mean that we won't have signed anyone. But I think he will definitely be in and around the squad. And if he carries on the way he is, he'll probably make a lot more appearances, I think, than he has for Wolves for this season. Who else? Ait Nouri, you know, he's young, but I hope we sign him permanently because I think he's got a real future ahead of him. I still don't know if he's should be our left back week in and week out. He's still quite young, but and I don't know how long Johnny's going to be out for. But if Johnny's out, say, till November next year, then we could potentially just sign out Nori and have them competing for the two left back spots. Other than that, today there's probably one more, and I think I don't want to come across biased because I think Kilman's an underrated player, but I think again, I think he had one point in the match where he was nearly caught out, but apart from that, again, solid performance, and he's left footed, so he looks very comfortable on that side. So again, he shouldn't be starting next season, but again, I think he should be in and around the squad.
Yeah, Jill, how about you? Because I think sort of you've almost summed it up quite nicely, Kim, to be fair. But again, it was almost the younger players in Traore who seemed to do well. And that does definitely sort of bode well for the future. Any sort of names sort of standing out for yourself, Jill?
I think for me, the four that I think covered themselves in glory were the outfield players anyway, were Traore, Gibbs White, Aitner and Semedo for me. I thought they were all solid enough. Again, I'm not going to give them nines or eights out of tens, but I thought they were solid enough. And the rest of them, like I say, let's not dwell on this game. Let's just, like I say, get this podcast wrapped up, get the one on Sunday wrapped up, and let's just start afresh and forget all about this season.
No, that sounds good. Well, before we completely wrap up, we do have lots more episodes of the Fancast between now and the end of the season. But we will be talking about the Man United game right after.
Hi, Richard here. Before you go back to hearing us dissect the latest Wolves news, some really shoehorn Simpsons references, a bit of 90s film action, of course, a bit of wrestling, I just want to do a quick shout out for our sponsors, Pixel Yeti Media. Now, they've done a fantastic job on the Wolves Fancast website, wolvesfancast.com, please go check it out. But they're not just web designers, they're a creative agency that cover all your design needs from websites, brochures and signage to marketing, logo design and branding. There's basically nothing they can't do marketing wise. So make sure you check them out at pixelyetimedia.com and I'll let you get back to enjoying the show.
This. Welcome back. So as I was going to say, George mentioned about sort of, you know, just putting our heads over the blanket and just almost wake me up when September ends, but you know, when July ends, I think it will be for ourselves. But some breaking news kind of coming out of the club, which I thought I'd sort of mention on here, is the update regarding Raul Jimenez. Essentially, I was going to say it is positive in terms of his sort of long-term professional future. It very much reads that he won't be playing this season, well, on Sunday, but essentially I'll read it very briefly, or the part that's actually relevant, but further match-based rehabilitation will start in July and will be tightly controlled initially. This respects the fact that although his recovery appears to be total, there is a big step from training to competition. So by the sounds of it, he has received the all clear to start activities on aerial duels and heading, which I think was quite an important one, but it doesn't seem that he's going to start on Sunday. So I think by and large, we'll happily take that and not worry, not getting like that 10 minutes, you know, against Man United.
I think that he could have started again, not started, but come on, maybe you know, at the end of the game. But from reading that sort of content, it sounds like there's sort of no point in risking him. If he's only just starting heading the ball in training, I guess it's a different kettle of fish, isn't it, when you're actually going into sort of competition, into proper games. So hopefully he gets a good pre-season and then, you know, comes back fighting, ready for next season. But it's interesting reading that he's got to wear the a protective band, and then he'll have to do that for the rest of his career now. So hopefully, I just think it's probably more like mentally getting him ready for the competition as well as sort of physically.
Definitely, George. How are you feeling on it?
there's no point playing him Sunday, even for a minute. I think, you know, he might come out on the pitch or something to get a round of applause. For me, really, it's health before anything else. And I think that I'd be shocked, and I really hope we don't lose Raul, the player we had, but I'd be shocked if we get half the player that we had pre-injury. That's not me being negative on the situation. I just think, especially, you know, with the injuries had that fractured skull as well. I think, you know, 60-40 is in his favour, 70-30 is in his favour even. It's going to play in your mind. I think that's going to be his biggest challenge. He's not going to lose his footballing ability overnight, but it's going to actually be the mental battle, really, of, right, I'm fit. It was a freak accident, freak incident, and I've got to compete like I did before. I just think that those sort of injuries, you lose the edge, or you can lose your edge. So I really hope it hasn't happened to Raul. I hope he comes back fire and fit, but I am being a bit sceptical, really, about after such a serious injury that he can come back and be the player he was.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really difficult for him. Just going off how he plays in a way, and that he is just seems to be so driven in his game. That is the glimmer of hope I have, that it doesn't become one of those situations where we see with quite a few, you know, top level footballers where they've sustained a serious traumatic injury and they've never quite been the same player. And I think by the sounds of it, the recovery he's made so far in the last 6 months is outstanding. The fact that he's back training already, the fact that he is in contact training, par heading the ball up until now, kind of does say that, you know, he's physically there. It's just whether mentally he can kind of climb those hurdles, because he was quite a physical player as well. He wasn't someone who shied away from that side of the game. He liked to, you know, he wasn't afraid to challenge with a goalkeeper and to put his head where it hurts.
He shouldn't feel like the whole team rides on him, because that's what I'm worried about next season. Like most fans are thinking, great, we've got Raul back, but actually, is he going to be the same player? And does he, you know, he doesn't deserve to have all that pressure on him anyway, because we shouldn't just be relying on strikers to score goals, essentially. So the question will be is, are we going to sign a striker or not? Because then we've got Raul, who's, you know, with his injury, we don't know how he's going to be. We've got Silva, who, you know, is promising, but he's still only very young and learning. And then who else? We're not going to sign Willian. Are we going to bring back Rafa Mir? I think we've either got to bring him back or recoup some money and try and get another striker. But I don't know, maybe just give Rafa Mir a go.
Yeah, I mean, he's done so well this season. Yeah,
so what you've alluded to there, Kim, about with Raul and stuff, like about the fans thinking, oh, Raul's back, that's going to fix all the problems. I hope Fosen don't think that, and I hope Nuno isn't pinning that on Raul's going to come back and pin our hopes on it, because it's a long old wait from the beginning of September to January. If we take that chance and just say, right, Raul's back, we're going to play him, all our problems are gone away. If he's not the player he was and we're struggling, guess what, those strikers that we want, there's going to be an extra £10-15 million on top of it now, because they know we need them. So yeah, I hope they make the right decision. And if we don't buy a striker in the summer, then I hope that it's because Raul is back to the Raul that we know and love.
Yeah, fingers crossed. I guess that brings us up nicely to a game where it feels like we're not massively looking forward to, unless you're go into the game, and that's the game against Man U, last game of the season. Usually it's a bit of a celebratory sort of festival game, last game of the season. There will be fans in the stand, so hopefully that should kind of bring a little bit extra to the occasion, because otherwise it's going to be, you know, not much to play for. But usually we could predict the lineup. And even after a loss, we could predict it. But I could see three or four changes even from tonight's game. And I genuinely don't know where Nuno might be going with it. Does he start Vitinha? Does he start Gibbs White? Does he go four at the back, three at the back? Kim, how do you think we might line up against Man U?
I think we could all try and predict it, and none of us would get it remotely right. As you say, it's firstly, is he going to go back to the five like he did today? Or is he going to go back to a four? I'd like to think that he'd, go back to a four, keep the wing-backs as they were tonight, maybe play Cody with Kilman, dare I say. He took Bolly off again tonight. Freshen up the centre midfield. That would be my one plea. And I'm not even that bothered about the game, but please, Nuno, if you're listening, please play Vitinha in centre midfield alongside probably Neves, and give Joao a rest, because if he's going to the Euros, I think he needs to put his feet up for a week or two. As I say, I guess it doesn't really matter about the team too much. I think it'd just be nice for the people that are going, for whoever plays, for them to put a performance on for the fans, because I think we're due a entertaining performance, because right now, the last few games, apart from little spells in the game, we've not been entertaining at all. So I think, again, as well, it depends on United team as well in terms of how the game will go. I'm fully expecting Man United will play a really, really weakened team, like they've kind of done against Fulham. So if they've done that against Fulham, 10 days before the final, they sure will against us. So I'd like to think we'd pull out a performance and potentially get the win.
Yeah, George, how are you feeling about the game? And do you think Nuno's going to pull a surprise, or can you see him going back to almost a classic 3-5-2 with Neves, then Donk, Martino in the middle?
I hope he doesn't, but I don't really know what choice he's got. And again, this sounds really negative, and especially because I'm on the fan, recording this podcast as well. I don't really care for it either, and I'm kind of glad that I went in the ballot for the United game. My decision was made. Well, I was in priority 3-for-1, but my decision was made when the prices came out. I've genuinely just had enough of this season, and I think a lot of fans are in the same boat. Let's just get the 90 out of the way. It'd be great to see him play the kids. It'd be great to see us experiment with some stuff. But I fully expect us to beat Man United, for one, on the weekend, because I do think they're going to be playing their reserves. But what lineup will play? Formation, players? Couldn't tell you. I really wouldn't have a clue. I think if you got all 11, I think I'd give you £1 million. I think that's where it is right now. I haven't got £1 million, by the way, before anyone starts DMing me the team lineup.
What I might do is get all the Fancast team to guess their prediction on like Friday, and we all have to write it secretly down and see who gets anywhere near the nearest. Yeah. But we'll see. Again, we're not sure on the lineups of either team. Do you have a wild stab in the dark in terms of score prediction before we do Twitter Corner?
I'll go 4-3 Wolves.
4-3 Wolves. Okay. Bold considering our inability to score, but we'll see. How about you, Kim?
I feel like every time I've been asked this question, which feels like a lot lately, I've changed my mind. But I'm going to go with what I said earlier on Instagram Live. I'm going to go 2-1 Wolves, just purely on the basis that we've got fans in and Man United will play their reserves. So, yeah, go positive.
I'm going to go probably hilariously, not even, yeah, probably negative and boring. I'm just going to go 0-0. Just see it out the way we.
You might as well have gone for a loss. At least the fans are going to see some goals.
God. Yeah. I just think that we just won't have it in us to score. we'll put on a show by defending is what we'll do. Shall we try and brighten up our day with some Twitter Corner questions?
Why not? Let's go for it.
Yeah, right. Thank you very much for your questions. There's some There were some pretty good ones actually this week, as well. I sort of weirdly paused on it, but no, I won't read it. We won't answer Adam Podes, I want to say, which is why we're so shit, because we're on, I think this is podcast 80 of the season. So just listen to them throughout the season. We've catalogued it pretty well. Elliot Rollison asks, 2p or 10p slot machines at the arcade, which one do you prefer? And what's the favourite item you've ever won? I'll broaden it out to an arcade. It doesn't have to be on a slot machine. Just any arcade game.
I used to family holidays always used to be in Pembrokeshire growing up. So always used to go into Saundersfoot Arcade, change about £3, get all the 2p's and play the 2p slot machines. So there's two versions of it. There's just the typical, the drop down, and you know, you could win like a yo-yo or a pack of love hearts or just some tokens to exchange for some prize, you know, prizes behind the counter. But do you remember like the horse racing ones they used to do as well? Yeah. You have to bet the 2p's and then you watch them run. I used to like them ones as well, to be fair. Best thing I've ever won in an arcade was when me and my partner, we went to Mexico, and it was like, I don't know what the coin was, a peseta, I don't know. And I didn't realise that the grabber was, you win every time. So, but I didn't realise that. So I just thought I was class. So I put like 4 coins in. I won four like toys, cuddly toys. I thought, bloody hell, I've like cracked it. This is like the Da Vinci Code. There's a profession in this. And then I watched like another kid have a go, and he won as well. I thought, hang on a minute. Then I read like the small English writing on the side, which said prize every time. So felt like a bit of a mug, unfortunately. But yeah, I don't think you can beat an arcade. I don't know why. Like an old traditional seaside arcade. Love it.
How about you, Kim?
So I just find these sort of 2 or 10p machines where you put your money in and you just watch it slowly nearly come over the edge and you nearly feel like you're going to win, but you don't ever quite win. I've never been good at actually winning. I've been good at putting lots of 2 and 10p's in them, but never actually winning a prize. The same with those, like, what are the things where you try and grab, like, prizes?
Grabbers.
Is that what they're called?
Literally, yeah.
Literally, I've just spent hours on those, but never actually grab anything. So, yeah, I'm more of an air hockey girl at the arcade.
Yeah, I can get on board with air hockey. I mean, I went to John Yusuf said, love a good arcade or a seaside town. Now, I went to university in Aberystwyth, and it's weirdly, I've gone into the arcade because there's one on the pier, and it's an arcade in Aberystwyth. It's exactly the level you think it is.
Is this attached to the pier bar, the 24-hour nightclub?
It is.
My first ever nightclub, 15 years old. My first outing ever.
Was it? It's called this now, whether it was called this...
Is it peer pressure?
Yes. Yeah, it's still called peer pressure. I was going to say, I'm speaking to a small audience on this podcast about Aberystwyth now, but there are two nightclubs. You got peer pressure, which, it's literally on the pier, which is an interesting place for it. But you've also got a sort of 24-hour sports bar next to it. You've got a bistro restaurant, and you've got an arcade as well, and some snooker halls as well. It is a pit. But I've gone to that arcade more after graduating than I did in 3 years there, because basically when I go back every year with my mates and get horribly drunk and we're waiting to get the train home, we just go to the arcade for a couple of hours. So I've won quite a few little figurines. I've got a little Batman one where me and two friends, we all got one each. I've won a piggy bank as well in Brighton. That was like when, you know, you get the tokens.
Yeah, you exchange
it
on the camera.
Yeah. That wasn't like on a grabber option. But yeah, I can completely get on board with that. There are two nightclubs in Aberystwyth. You have got peer pressure, you've also got why not. And the question why not is pretty self-explanatory when you get in there. You get two types of people. You get in Aberystwyth student-wise, you get the ones who go peer pressure, and you get the ones who go Yoko/why not. And depending on how old you are, you call it Yoko's or why not. But yeah. Any listeners, if you've gone to either of them, at Paul's Fancast, I will happily talk to you about Aberystwyth any day of the week. Right, other questions. Weirdly, there aren't any actually about Aberystwyth, but you know, fine, whatever. I'm not annoyed. Okay. So Stuart Jones asks, is Neves struggling due to not being utilised correctly, or has he gone from creative to enforcer? Also, does Tim Howe do double workload for Martino every week not help him?
You need someone. I said this a few weeks ago. I think if we move to a 4-2-3-1 system, you almost need someone to do Neves' donkey work to allow him to allow someone to do his donkey work, be mobile, break it up, and give him the ball to start spreading passes around. At the moment, he's doing too much. I don't think we know in the system what he is, whether he's that enforcer or he's our ball playing midfielder. Because I think there was a stat was the other week that he's the only midfielder in the Premier League to have 60 blocks and 60 tackles. Yeah. Just Neves. And when you consider that he's meant to be our ball playing midfielder, that again screams a problem that we've had this season for me.
I'm trying to think of how you would describe Neves as a midfielder. Now, when he came to Wolves, as far as I'm concerned, he was sort of like a creative but defensive midfielder. Now, to me, to get the best out of him, right, we need to be playing three in the middle of the park. One guy further forward, creative, a Vitinha type, maybe not him, but that sort of player. And then you've got Neves holding alongside someone with legs, someone, not who I'm going to say, but of the type, like a Decore for Everton, who can get up and down the pitch, break up play as well, but also has energy. So then if you've got Vitinha and a Decore-style midfielder alongside Neves, then he should be able to sort of dictate the tempo of the passing, you know, spray balls around. But right now, I feel like he's just trying to do everything. You know, when you're at work and you feel like you're trying to literally balance so many things at once, I feel like Neves has lost his way because he's trying to do so many different roles within midfield, maybe.
Yeah, Neves' best spell in a Wolves shirt was when Alfred and I was playing next to him. That says it all for me.
Yeah,
and that's exactly what we're missing—a better version of Alfred and Ndiaye.
You know what? I completely forgot about Alfred and Ndiaye as a footballer up until I decided to play FIFA 18 out of absolutely nowhere earlier this week, and I started smiling so much. It's like we haven't had a player like that since we had him, and he was decent. Like, would he have done a job for us in the Premier League? Probably not, and that's why we didn't sign him. But yeah, we are screaming for that absolute busy bastard in the midfield.
Yeah, there's I said this a while ago as well. I think there's a few players in the Premier League that of that mould. You look at someone like Thomas Souček, who can break it up, break the box. You know, him and Rice for me is like the best pivot midfield in the Premier League. Honest to God, I think that the complement each other really, really well. And I think that, like I say, you look at that. That's the sort of player that we are missing. And yeah, for us to go to that next level, I generally think if we got someone doing Neves' leg work and a bit of more of the donkey work, as it were, then I think it frees up Neves to start influencing football matches again.
Yeah, no, completely agree. What else have we got coming up? So Colin Beer asks, what types of genre of movie would Nuno most likely star in? I mean, he does look a lot like Lawrence Fishburne, so maybe The Matrix.
I can see Lawrence Fishburne actually a little bit. I don't know, like I used to say it'd be like I don't know, like very much like a bit of a thriller, like action maverick sort of guy that he was. But now at the moment he almost feels like, you know, when you see like De Niro in a film now and you just think you look a bit worn out. Like, I don't know what that genre is. I feel like he just needs a break. And he's
straight to DVD.
Yeah, maybe. Not, you know, straight to Prime Video on the free. I think, in all seriousness, I think it's as much as a massive summer for the club and recruitment, it's a massive summer for Nuno as well, in terms of needs to go home, go back to Portugal, recharge and come back again. If he's still got it in him, I still think there's a good chance that he walks away from the club in the summer. mutually. I generally think I think he's a bit defeatist in some of his comments and his interviews, and I don't want him to go at all. However, I do think that I think there's a big chance he might not be at Wolves come the start of next season.
I feel like they need to sit down. It might be the fact that he will sit down with Fosun and work out what the best way, you know, for the club is moving forward. And if they don't come to agreement, I wouldn't be too surprised, even though I don't want it to happen. I agree with Jordan. I think it might be the case that they mutually just sort of, you know, say that's that. In terms of if he does come back refreshed, couldn't he be like a James Bond, like all action character? Right now he wouldn't be James Bond, but
yeah, like, more like Johnny English right now. Why? Because we're not very good at the minute, are we?
I didn't hear who you said.
I said if you come back now, if you come back now, it'd be like Johnny English. I said,
yeah.
I do like the idea because he's obviously got that thick beard at the moment, like in Skyfall, where like after Bond gets shot and he's just like a bit of a broken man. And then, like he finds his groove again, and like gets a bit more, you know, sharply shaven. And that's when suave Nuno comes back, and you know he's hitting up wine bars and, you know, taking down criminals.
You know what he's like at the minute? It's just come to me. He's like Rocky in Rocky IV when he tells Adrian he's going to go to Russia, and he's got that big bushy beard, and he's like, yeah, he wants, you know, he doesn't know whether he can do it anymore or not. And then, you know, just need to get that Hearts on Fire song playing and watch him running up Techno Rock. Up that hill, start screaming. I don't know what his wife's called. Let's just say it is Adrian. And just start screaming.
Can you imagine if his wife's name is Adrian?
Yeah, it'd be so good, wouldn't it? There you go.
Oh, that's
a very Partridge film idea.
Okay, so two questions. Nag, King Wolf, asks, with it being unlikely we'll do sort of pre-season tours across Europe/the world, are there any random British/Irish clubs you want us to play in pre-season prep? I think I've already nailed my flag to a mast for Aberystwyth Town FC. Will they do better than the goal I scored there a couple of years ago from about a 40-yard volley? I don't know, but that was me just, you know, humbly bragging about it. But Jordan, where do you like to see Wolves play pre-season, either, I guess, in Britain and Ireland?
I reckon we'll go to the Shetland Islands and play Orkney and all those sort of other weird places. I think we need to get our confidence back, get our swag back. So I reckon, yeah, we go to the Shetland Islands on tour and we get them all farming as well. And we just sort of get team morale back. That'd be my suggestion anyway.
And where would you like to either visit/basically where would you like a staycation?
A few years ago, I went to a pre-season tour in Ireland, and that was like the dream. Love Dublin. So I would pick Dublin just because I'm selfish and I love the sesh out there. So, and the teams are pretty rubbish, aren't they? So at least we get some confidence back and score some goals.
Yeah, I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. Last question is from Dean Marsden. Has Gully got everyone on a training regime in prep for a charity game? I can answer this. Judging by some of the photos in the WhatsApp group about what people have been having for dinner this week, no.
Yeah, it's really pissed me off. Like I said at the start of this, you know, about we want to win and stuff. And you got Luke there with a mixed kebab and chips. And then you got Dan as well going to the famous old room for Chippy and having a tikka meat and chips. It's like, what are we doing, lads?
That is not good for your insides. Looking at those photos, I'm nearly bombed.
I don't care about the insides. It just can't be good for, you know, shifting around for 60 minutes at Molineux a week on Monday. It's just not, you know. The other rival Wolves distributors of content are going to be lapping this up. But honestly, it's been an absolute utter disgrace, Dean, if you want the real answer about our preparation. And I'm not happy about it, to be quite honest with you. And Gully needs to pull his finger out his arse and get everyone in line.
What I love is, Jordan, you sound genuinely more aggrieved at this than I've seen you on podcasts this season.
No, genuinely, yeah. You know, Matt's doing well with his PT and stuff.
Yeah.
I've give up the chocolate because I've become a bit of a fat bastard in lockdown 3 after Christmas. and I need to shift some weight anyway. But yeah, Dan, Luke, you're my disgrace. And if we lose, I'll blame you. There you go.
I was going to say, so two things to end on is that we are having our one and only training session next Tuesday as a group. And it's probably going to be the first time most of us have actually seen each other in a year plus. So it's going to be interesting to see what the legs can do. I also, just from knowing Luke, know that he could probably have a bag of chips a night and still probably turn up on a Sunday morning and still get a hat trick, but do nothing else. I feel like if you get Luke in front of the goal, he'll be fine, but it's getting him there.
I've been told he's like a modern day Steve Ball. I'm looking for. He talks a good game, so I'm hoping to see Luke start smashing some balls in the net at goals.
He talked a good game, and he's been talking about good game for about 5 years, and I don't think he's played much in the last 5 years. So.
He'll roll back the years.
If I can, I'll see if I can get some footage of our training session as well next week. If it all goes to a plan, and well, I need a break and. I'm dying myself, but we'll end that the pod on that note. Big thanks as always to our sponsors, Pixel Yeti Media, for any of your website marketing needs. They might do memes as well, you never know. Go check them out at pixelyetimedia.com. Make sure you also go check out 90 Min Football as well for any of their content. We will be back I was going to say later this week, probably for a pre-match show. We'll be on Instagram before the Man United game. We'll be on Instagram after the Man United game and also at halftime as well. So make sure you go check us out. And we'll also be doing a podcast on it as well, where we're going to a bit more in depth. We'll also be bringing you, probably in a week after that, our end of season review pod, which will probably not be the most glorious of listens, but hopefully we can kind of reflect on the season as a whole, look at the good, the bad, the ugly and the funny. And also make sure you listen to the most recent Stories from the Pack, which came out today on Wednesday. Features a guy called Tom, and it's a really fascinating story in terms of his sort of life and time as a Wolves fan, that and essentially how he's met players through different things, from having open heart surgery when he was a kid to then going over to Hong Kong and catching a Hong Kong Sevens where the Wolves under 21 team were. It is a really fun listen and sort of really sort of signifies sort of what it can mean to support Wolves as well. On that note, it's going to be goodbye from Jordan.
Yeah, goodbye, folks.
It's goodbye from Kim.
Bye.
And it's goodbye from me. See you next time.